Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, the only food podcast on the internet that's been buried and cooked for 24 hours in Soft Touch's garden. My name's Ed Gamble.
I'm James Acaster, and I'm cracking an egg.
Just to let the listener know why James is saying that, we were trying to come up with what I should say in the intro, and James just kept saying cracking an egg over and over again, which was a lot less helpful than he thought it was.
Just trying to give you some inspiration, a little jump-off point.
Thank you very much.
About cracking an egg and then think about how that could apply to podcasts.
Yeah, and as you've worked out, it can't apply to podcasts because you've just said cracking an egg again.
Well, you're the man who comes up with the start bits, you know, that's your forte, not mine.
It's clearly not my forte, is it? Because I've just had to back reference a very specific part of a podcast, and you just said cracking an egg, and now we're about 3 minutes in and we've not even said what we're doing here.
Oh, yeah, that's a point. I'm just going to crack this egg and see what's inside it. Oh, it says in the egg... this is the Off-Menu podcast.
It says in the egg. What do you mean it says in the egg? Nothing says anything in an egg.
It's written in the yolk.
It's what's written in the yolk?
The format.
How do you write in a yolk?
Huh?
How do you write in a yolk?
The little chicken wrote in the yolk before it died.
The chicken is the yolk. You know when something hatches, the yolk doesn't come out as well. The chicken grows in like what the yolk is if you don't fertilise the chicken in there.
But as the chicken was turning into the yolk, it wrote in the yolk.
And then what?
Died.
And then what is written on the dead chicken yolk?
It wrote, we ask guests their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink.
We do indeed, James. And this week, our wonderful guest is Corey Taylor. Lead singer of Slipknot, Stone Sour, and now a brilliant solo artist in his own right, about to release an album called CMFT, which I've heard, and it is very good, and I'm very excited for it to be released.
Full disclosure, Slipknot, one of Ed's favourite bands of all time.
I don't think you need to even disclose that. I think I've probably spoken about that on the podcast before.
I just think anyone who it's their first episode, if they want a little bit of insight and context before we go into this, this episode is a big deal.
Yeah, it's exciting. I'm very excited and happy that Corey agreed to do it.
Yes.
Spent many, many years listening to Slipknot and going to their gigs and singing along to all their lovely songs. And at the beginning of the year, before the world fell apart, me and the great Benito went to see Slipknot record a BBC session at Maida Vale, and they said it was the smallest gig that they'd done in 20 years. There's only about 100 people there, and one of them was the great Benito, and he doesn't know any Slipknot songs. Imagine that. If there's any Slipknot fans listening now, you missed out on a chance to see one of the biggest metal bands in the world perform in a tiny room because the great Benito was there wearing his duffel coat and his friend Guy was there as well. He got to bring his friend Guy, who's also not a Slipknot fan. And they both just stood there watching it like it was a play.
I've never met Guy, but he sounds like a grade A dweebo.
When I met Guy, I worked out where the great Benito is within his friendship group. And let me tell you, the great Benito is the dweeb of the friendship group.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I would have guessed that anyway. I thought you were about to say that Guy was an even bigger dweeb and you'd realise great Benito was the alpha. But everyone's suspicions.
The Benito was wearing his duffel coat. And Guy was there wearing his leather jacket.
Oh, Guy's so cool. Benito there with a marmalade sandwich under his hat. Watching Slipknot.
And Clown ran into the audience. He was like throwing himself around right in front of us. Benito was gazing at it, absolutely baffled.
Didn't know what was going on, I bet. He was like, oh, I'm more of a fan of theme parks than the circus, Mr. Clown. I don't know what's going on here.
Hopefully, though, James, Corey Taylor will not say the secret ingredient that we have pre-established, which means if he says it, we're going to have to kick him out of the restaurant. That would devastate me if we had to do that. And this week, the secret ingredient is maggots.
Maggots,
what Slipknot call their fans, of course, which I used to love that when I was 14, that we were all the maggots. And now the more distance I get from it, the funnier I find it that they called their fans the maggots.
It's very funny, although when you saw them live in that little room, there were two people in that room who fully deserved to be called maggots.
Two real-life maggots.
Wriggly little maggots.
So, hopefully Corey Taylor won't say maggots. I mean, he won't, will he? Come on, surely.
Don't know, we never know.
I know Slipknot have got a sort of quite a ferocious reputation when it comes to crazy shit they used to do when they were live, but he's not going to pick maggots for his dream meal, is he?
We'll see. Some people eat insects, some people eat crickets and stuff like that, and ants. Maybe maggots is something he's touring the world, he might have acquired a taste for. We never know. He might be about to kick one of your heroes out of the dream restaurant.
Oh, God, no, please. So, without further ado, here is the off-menu menu of Corey Taylor. Welcome, Corey Taylor, to the Dream Restaurant. He's in. Welcome.
I'm in.
Wow.
Welcome, Corey Taylor, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
You finally accepted my reservation, you know? It's hard to get a table in this place.
It's been pretty booked up. Apologies. Booked up for a while, but as James's entrance there, he's the genie waiter. That's why that big... I mean, you're very chilled out. You're quite used to pyrotechnics, of course, so... Any genie arriving, just that's nothing at the moment to you, right?
I'm used to it. You know, I mean, it's I've never seen one dressed in such leather, but I mean, it's fine. And
it's
an acquired taste. I mean, hey, no, this is it's international flavor. I'm absolutely into it, so it's fine.
What metal band has the best pyrotechnic show you've ever seen?
Ooh, besides us.
Yes, of course.
I mean, ours are pretty good. It's a toss-up. I would say it's a toss-up between Maiden and Metallica. I mean, Metallica goes all out, but Maiden, they create so much on the stage that it's just, God damn it, I take that back. No, it's Rammstein.
Yes.
It has to be Rammstein.
I was waiting for the correct answer, Corey.
Right. No, and you know what? Thank you for letting me get there on my own. I appreciate it.
That's all right.
It.
No worries.
I've toured with them so many times, and dude, you can always tell when they've brought the load too, because the audience gets further and further away. Dude, I did a show with them, and the barricade was 25 feet away, and I was just like, I can't even see anybody. This is fucking stupid.
Welcome to the Dream Restaurant. You're here, of course, and look, you've brought us a lovely gift, which is a copy of your brand new solo album, CMFT.
Yes,
which is very exciting. Your first solo album under just your own name.
Yeah, no pressure, right?
No pressure here. Don't worry. When did you decide to do that?
I mean, it's something that has kind of just been on my periphery for a long time, you know? I talked about doing an off project about 11, 12 years ago with a side project called Junk Beer Kidnap Band, which was my way of doing a solo thing without actually coming out and saying it was a solo thing. So I just kind of, set that aside and just concentrated on the other two bands that, you know, obviously I have, but I always kind of had this thing in the back of my head. It's like, you know, those songs are here and I keep writing songs that really don't fit with either band. So maybe sometime in the future, you know, there would, you know, come an opportunity. And that was happening, more people were asking me if I would ever do one. And it just got to the point where I was just like, you know what, if I don't do it now, I never will. And I knew there was something in me that really wanted to.
I imagine that when you're in a band that has 9 members in the back of your mind, you must have been thinking about a solo project from the first band practice you had.
I was like, I can't wait to get the hell away from these fucking assholes.
So we always start in the Dream Restaurant with still or sparkling water, Corey.
Is your sparkling water flavored?
It is however you want it to be. This is your dream.
Okay.
No one's ever gone in with that straight away with, is the sparkling water flavored? You're obviously a connoisseur.
Oh. I don't want to paint myself as someone. Yes, well, you're sparkling water of the area, I see. I only really started drinking sparkling water maybe about 4 or 5 months ago, really, because I mean, Perrier and all that crap just tasted like a burp to me. I just was not interested. But then my wife actually got me on like not the LaCroix, but like the off brand, that bubbly with 1B, which just bugs the shit out of me, but it's really good. So
we don't have bubbly with 1B here. Is it pronounced bubbly or is it Bublé?
Have you got into Michael Bublé?
Well, I slowly but surely I'm waking my way into Michael Bublé's like whole catalog. But he's actually in the commercials for the sparkling water. He's in the shop. And he's taking the cans down one at a time, and it's Bubly, and he's crossing out the Y and writing an E in on it. And I'm just like, that's fucking genius. That's really, really good. But yeah, okay. So if it's a flavored sparkling water, I will have the cherry, because I'm that kind of dick now, I guess. And and we'll go from there.
Would you like Bublé to bring it to you?
Oh. I mean, I hate to reach for the sun, but if that's there, I mean, I'll definitely have that.
I understand that you don't want to start too big in the Dream Restaurant, but you can realize all your dreams here. Bublé can bring you a sparkling water and cross it out and write the E in front of you as well.
Now you're just playing with my emotions. And I feel like you're going to tempt me with a power that I'm not quite used to. You know, it's just like, all right, here we go.
Well, I don't want to give you too much power, but just so you know, now we've got Bublé involved, he is on hand for the whole meal. So whatever you need him to bring over at any point, whatever role you want him to play in each course, he can totally do that. You've got Bublé now.
Fantastic. I love it. Maybe he's just snapping every time he brings something over. You know, it's just like... It's like, here's your amuse-bouche. It's a little bit of everything, just shove it in your face. Hey!
Do you think the snapping would ever get on your nerves at any point during the meal?
Maybe once you hit like that gastro issue where you're just like, that moment in the meal where you've had a little too much dairy and you're like, you're timing it. You're just like, and he's just like, are we gonna go? We gotta make this happen. He comes over and you're like, I don't need any jovial shit from you. Give me a check.
That's the problem with Bublé. What a lot of people don't know is his snap can often make people shit themselves.
Yeah. You should get him in Slipknot. I mean, I understand some of your band members deliberately shit themselves before going on stage. Bublé would be great. His fingers.
I'm happy to say that not anymore. You know, it used to be Clown would just run out on stage, and it was like, dude, it was like being at the monkey cage at the zoo. Dude, he just shit in his hand. And I mean, and I'm like, what in the, come on, dude, we haven't even played a note yet. And I'm already like trying not to throw up. Dude, that fucking prick, you know what he did one time? We were playing a show, and I want to say it was in France, and it was a particularly ferocious French tour. We were playing all these like little side like hamlets, basically. And I mean, we had no money, we had no nothing. So every night was just a fucking war. he comes out on stage one night and he does the whole fucking, you know, Gigi Allen thing and just going insane. I'm getting, you know, I'm just getting ready to go into Wait and Bleed, and he comes up and on this, and I can't see him because I got the mask on. So there's just the peripherals are not really happening. And he just wipes his fucking hand like this. And I'm like, I challenge anybody to try and sing in key when there's shit. Just like, it was like something out of Lord of the Rings, you know, it was like a shit covered orc just standing there. And I just went, I chose this. I chose to be here. And I'm really starting to regret that decision. I mean, I got through the song and was able to grab a towel and just kind of get it off before just spewing to the side. And yeah, it was fucking great. It was awesome.
Do you think that's how Slipknot have maintained such sort of live ferocity? Because you worry about a lot of other bands who've been going for decades sort of slowing down. Right. But you started so extreme that the down is just sort of normal for most bands when they start.
Basically, yeah. It's like we came out of the gate so nuts that only age has been able to really kind of take the edge off of it. And yet, on stage, we're still just a fucking ball of like, what the fuck? Like, we still tour like we're 25 because we're stupid. And we're just fucking running all over the place. We've all had at least one surgery. It's just like, what the fuck are we trying to prove at this point? You know, it's like, I can kick my own ass. You fucking watch, you know, it's just so, I don't get it, man.
Bublé is the other end of the scale. But Bublé started off as soft as he possibly could. And now he's thinking, how do I ramp this up? I bet he's had a show when the trumpet player's been like, look, if you want, when you're getting ready to like sing the final number, I can wipe shit on your face.
Yeah.
It makes it kind of hard to purse, though, if you've got poop in your... Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You need to be careful when Bublé brings the water over because he does it.
This is very, you know what? Yeah. I'm telling you, he's a little gassy and I can see it on his face, you know? He's on his own supply right now.
Yeah, he's a Bublé bubbly.
Poppadoms or bread? Poppadoms or bread, Corey Taylor? Poppadoms or bread?
Ooh, I'm going to go bread because I'm one of those bougie people that likes to eat it with the olive oil and the cracked pepper and shit. And I'll just sit there.
Any particular type of bread?
I will say preferably European, because the best bread I've ever had is over in is on the continent. It's just, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because it's not loaded with a bunch of bullshit like the bread here is, you know. And I, having said that, I have to say there's some of the local bakeries and stuff are really good, but it just seems like all of your guys' bread, whether it's the UK or the continent or whatever, is just really fucking good. So I never really eat bread unless I'm overseas, man. Like I never even touch it. Anything like a rye, like a, anything with like a, if I can be so a pumpernickel, I'm a fan of a pumpernickel. There you go.
Would you like Bublé to sing pumpernickel as he brings it to you?
God, could he? I mean, we're in the dream
right
realm.
Up Bublé Street.
I would have to say, you know, anything with like that, but then he'd have to refer to the grapefruit flavored sparkling water as pamplemousse, you know, which is so stupid. Like the first time I read that, I was like, "What the really is that necessary?" Like grapefruit's not funny enough. Pamplemousse, you know, stupid.
Also, what could go better with a slice of pumpernickel bread than Bublé's buttery voice
and oily?
Would you mind slathering some of that buttery voice on my pumpernickel bread?
Is that the butter you would like? Is Bublé's buttery voice?
You know what? I'll take it. I can't believe it's not Bublé. Or
So we come to your starter. The proper meal starts now.
Yes, almost coming up on a year ago, I stopped eating meat proper, but I still do fish and eggs. So it's kind of a pescatarian vibe a little bit. So I try to avoid like hardcore meats and stuff. But then again, my wife is a ridiculous cook and she has a potato curry that is so fucking good, dude, that I eat my weight and then I shit fire. Like, it's that fucking good. And it's even better like 2 or 3 days later, man. It's one of those curries, you know, but it's also one of those curries that when you crack the Tupperware, you can smell it in the air. You're just like, oh, Jesus Christ, I feel that in my eyebrows. What the hell is that? So I guess I've become very, very attached to curries, and which means I spend a lot of time in the bathroom. Let's put it that way.
That's when you know something tastes good.
That's very true.
That's when you know something tastes good, that when you're eating it, you know that in like a couple of hours' time, you're going to be doing a Rammstein show in the toilet.
There's recompense coming that's not probably going to feel great, but okay, I'm into this, you know? So yeah.
That's a time when you want to get Clown on the phone and just be like, hey man, just wondered if you want to maybe pop over for some revenge. I mean, there's just some hanging out as friends.
Right,
and then he comes over, you're like, how do you like my fiery shit, motherfucker? And then right in his face.
Don't use that bathroom. No, use the one... Oh, that I just came out of. Yeah, no, I'd really appreciate that.
So is that what you want for your starter, your wife's potato curry?
You know what I'll do, and it's one of our favorite dishes, is a Penang curry with tofu. And it's like at like volcano levels, which is righteous, man. Yeah, so we'll do a Penang curry with jasmine rice, tofu, bell peppers. Not too much cabbage, though, because that shit pisses me off. But maybe some broccoli. And then I'm a loaded weapon.
Now, Corey, this is only a starter. This is the appetizer. You've gone absolutely all in with a full curry and rice.
Oh, yeah. And, absolutely.
And very bold, starting with a dish that you know is going to make you need a shit immediately.
Oh, immediately. You know? See, in my dream, we're just across the street from my house. See? Oh, so, I mean, yes. Right there. So... I don't even have to worry about valet. I don't have to worry about driving, trying to get a cab. I dab, drop, key, home, and we're good to go. You know, so I'm already on the way. So
in that situation, if you're in a restaurant that was opposite your house and you needed to shit like at the beginning of the meal, would you always go home and shit and then come back to the restaurant, or would you use the restaurant toilet?
You know what? My away game is not great. I don't like, I don't, I have a, it takes me like, and this is true. It takes me about a week to get used to shitting on the road. Like when we're like more on tour and stuff, there's a safety with your own John, you know, like it's your spot, you know, you can blow it up if you want to. And there's the added terror of somebody recognizing me. And then you're walking in, and it's just like, dude, you should have said, you know, Corey Taylor, fuck, you just destroyed the bathroom at fucking at Olive Garden. You know, that's all I need is just some fucking weird shit to follow me around. So yeah, I would definitely run back and forth if need be. You know, I'd put the thumb over the hose and just try not to fucking get, you know.
If it takes you a week to get used to shitting on the road, I'm glad I've never seen you on show 6 of a tour.
Dude, it's, yeah, I mean, it tends to be a little bulbous. You know, there's definitely some pressure, some pains happening. And I guess it's not so much a week anymore because you almost get used to it. But I tell you this, after this quarantine, it's going to take me forever to get fucking used to shitting on the road again. Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Where the hell did that come from?
That's right. Great. I want more burps on the off-menu podcast. Yeah. It's appropriate. Well, here.
It shows you appreciate the food.
It absolutely is. That's, you know, where I come from, that's considered a compliment. I'm just saying.
I don't know, if you saw it, but me and Buble just high-fived. We're like, mission accomplished.
Well, I definitely felt it. I definitely felt it.
Yeah. Also, a minute ago, you said after the curry, you want to dab, drop, key home.
Right.
Now, the listener couldn't see the mime you did to go along with that. Would you like to clarify to the listener? Because I think this is the question they will have. Where are you dabbing?
Oh, well, I mean, it's in the ass area, you know?
Oh, okay.
It's a little swidgy.
I thought you were dabbing the mouth of the food.
Like a gentleman.
Oh, no.
And then going home. But you're dabbing your ass before you leave to go to the bathroom.
Listen, I don't know what your rule is against language or anything like that, but there may be, depending on the heat of the curry, there may be some seepage. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a concern in the Taylor household. It's more of like, and you tend to run with your chest forward and your ass a little more, just, it's not something you want to see, but when you've seen it, you realize there's danger ahead. So there you go.
Well, so that's the dab.
We're off to a great start with some home cooking. And
yeah.
Yeah, we're doing great.
In more ways than one.
Yeah. In every sense of the word, that's a home cooked start. The main course, are we staying at home for the main course or is this somewhere else?
My wife does that. She's a maniac. Like, she finds all this really, all these really rad recipes and stuff. And there's a, and this is going to make me sound so bougie. Oh my God. But, there's a sweet potato kale kind of, mash that she does. It's almost like a kale hash that she does with a pico hot sauce and added cilantro like on top. That she then adds vegan cheese to, which is fucking righteous, dude. It's so good. It also is very filling. So you add that to the Penang, and I'm an explosion waiting to happen. Like I'm officially on a timer, you know? So I'm like, I could bag both of those and feel comfortable for about 20 minutes. If like, depending on how fast I eat it or how hungry I am. So yeah, so we'll go with that.
But we're letting you offload the Penang and then it's the main
course. See, I've relieved some of the shelf.
Yeah.
You know, you got the shit shelf that sits here and just waits its turn, right? Like that's gone. We've got that. So now I've just reloaded with some sweet potato. It's probably a lot of starch going on here, which is, that's fine, but you know, I'm going to pay for it tomorrow when I'm exercising. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
Well, it's the kale and the hot sauce that concerns me. I mean, you know, you said that you've come back from your house, you've locked up your house. I would say, you needn't have bothered locking the front door.
Yeah, you're absolutely leave right. that and shit the on the latch.
Yeah. I mean, the more I think about it, the more I've added to my having to go back. Now I have to fish the keys back out again.
Yeah.
Now, see, this is where a code pad would come in handy, right? Just do and I'm in, instead of trying to, you know, briskly rustle my keys out of my pocket. And depending on the pants I've worn, that could add, that's a whole other issue, you know?
I would say the main thing that would come in handy is just using the bathroom in the restaurant.
Oh God, you're going to make me break that, aren't you? Like, I mean, it's...
We don't know what your next course is going to be.
Listen, Corey, this is the dream restaurant. How's about this?
Right.
We can put your bathroom that you know in the restaurant, and it is your bathroom.
See, now you're just making me want to stay in the restaurant as much as possible.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's my bathroom. Now, here's the thing. I have three clutch bathrooms in my house, depending on where my family is at any given moment, right?
Bathrooms themed on the band Clutch.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, there's the Blast Tyrant, right? There's the elephant. There's the elephant room.
and then Pure Rock Fury for the really...
Yeah, exactly.
For the Penang
and
shit.
That's the one that is as far away from my family, the ones I love, as absolutely possible. Neil is going to fucking kill me when he hears this, dude. Jesus Christ.
I will tell you what, because Ed's too cool to say this, but I guarantee that riff there was his favorite moment on this podcast that he's ever had.
Yeah, to be fair, Corey, two of my favorite bands of all time are Slipknot and Clutch. So to riff with you about Clutch is a thing that I never thought I'd achieve.
And about shitting.
Well, and I mean, it's three great tastes. I mean, well, wait a minute. That's not right. Hold on a second. Okay, two great tastes. We were trying to put together a Slipknot Clutch tour, which we're still trying to work on to try and fight it could, because it just would be so fucking rad, you know? Like,
I agree.
I know it's two different vibes, but they're just one of the best live bands ever, man. I mean, and their songs are just so fucking ridiculous. And Neil, he's probably one of my favorite modern singers, you know? He just can sing anything.
And now you've named all your bathrooms after his band, so I'm sure he's going to enjoy
it. Yeah,
that.
Man. Absolutely. Well, I'm sure he's probably going to email me and be like, dude, the fuck, man? What is, you've got an elephant room bathroom? I'm like, well, not that you know. I mean.
So far, this is a quite the dicey meal, but
Yeah, there's an edge.
You've now got your own bathroom in the restaurant, which is awesome. And to be fair, I'm surprised that no guest has implemented that so far.
Yeah.
It's taken quite a long time for that to happen. And I think for all of us, even if we like using public bathrooms, which I've never met anyone who does, we'd all rather our own bathroom was in the restaurant.
Yeah. Very true.
No one else can use it as well. It's not like there's other customers who can go in there and use your bathroom.
Right. Right. It's almost like the room of requirements, you know, from fucking Harry Potter. Like it just, I tap the wall, my bathroom opens up and nobody else is allowed to use the son of a bitch.
Yeah. When Buble goes to use it, it's his bathroom. Completely
absolutely.
Different.
Yeah. Yeah. If you said it's like, because I know nobody's going to change the toilet paper either. Like I'm always the one who's changing the role now. I'm probably the one who uses the majority of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, sounds like you're the one who's getting through it.
Yeah, I mean, I look, this is the only way I'll ever be considered a regular guy.
That's a good joke.
Come on, you don't need to do a sarcastic badum-tush for that. That was solid stuff. Yeah.
I'd love it if that was your solo album. It was just you doing one-liners and putting them to you afterwards. Yeah. Didn't see it going this direction.
You know, I punish my family all the time with my stupid sense of humor. And I will say, to be fair, my wife thinks I'm very funny. So I scored. Like, I just finally, a woman who thinks I'm funny. So.
If you were, you were saying earlier about having a code instead of a key. What code would you choose? Now I'm trying now to link it to the numbers of the Slipknot band members and the numbers that you have on your boiler suits.
Ah.
I'm trying to think of a code you would use and how you would remember it if you were to correlate it with the members of Slipknot. It is a convoluted question.
It is quite.
It's, you started it and you're still not at the end of it, but you're now commenting on the quality of the question, even though it's not finished.
Yeah, the question's not finished. I'm not sure what the question is.
I will never have another guest
where this will come up.
It's the sign of a good question.
Yes.
Where you're already questioning the vitality, like just like, it's like, I don't know where this is going to go, but you know, it would be good. I made it a ridiculously long fucking code, right? But then I use our numbers, but I use the sequence from the beginning of the Heretic Anthem. So I add two extra sixes in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, people always skip. It's like, oh, I bet you it's Slipknot. 8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1-0. Why isn't this working? It's like, well, because you're missing two sixes. So 8-7-6-6-6-5-4-3-2-1-0, right?
Then perfect. Only true fans can break into your house.
That's right. And that's exactly what I want. It's true fans. You keep your fucking commonality out of here. I want real fans who know some shit.
And then that's not stolen goods for them. That's memorabilia and that's legal.
Well, is that legal?
No, it's fine. If anyone comes and steals something off you and they like your band, then that's legal, I think.
Well, you know, they're not going to resell it quickly.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
You know, they'll put it in their shrine with like all the stolen hair from your hairbrushes and shit. And
has anyone ever stolen your hair, Corey?
Be honest.
Well, not that I know of, because I have a tendency to chop my hair off a lot. Yeah. So I don't know. But I will say, I mean, I've had some stalkers over the years who have, they've sent me some weird shit, let's just say. Just a lot of weird, you know, letters signed in blood. And,
oh, so intense.
I tell you what, dude. Okay, so the first real weird letter I ever got was back in 99. And there was a P.O. box that we were using for a while that we then had to get rid of because just so much shit was fucking coming into it. We had to forward everything to our management. But before we did that, we would go down and we would find, like, was getting to the point that it was just like bags and bags and bags of it. And they would give me these fucking stacks of crazy fan letters. So I would read them and you know, every once in a while I'd reply and stuff. But there was one that started out, it was from a lady. And she was telling me about how her and her husband were quite big fans, right? And the first page, you know, this is all on like notebook paper and handwritten, very nice, very whatever. And she's like, you know, I'm a huge fan of blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, this is really sweet. And I flip it over, dude. And it turns into a full on, like, I want you to keep me in a cage. I want you to, I mean, for real, it went from zero to what the fuck, like that. I just was like, it was interesting. I still have it somewhere.
In the whole build up to you talking about that letter, I could see James was really annoyed when it turned out to be from a lady because he really wanted to make the joke that I'd written it. Yep. James?
Yeah, that was what I was getting ready for. Yeah. Well, there were two things I was getting ready for. One was that I wanted to make the joke that Ed had written it, absolutely, 100%. And I'm still not ruling that out, by the way. It's the classic, classic throwing you off the scent, Ed Gamble making out he's a lady in the letter.
Yeah.
But also, also, in preparation for possible callbacks later on in the episode, because I don't know about Clutch as much as Ed does, so I thought I'll Google the Clutch albums so I know Clutch. And I tell you what, there is not a single album by Clutch which wouldn't be a funny name for a toilet.
Oh, I've just remembered Earth Rocker. Every single one. Earth Rocker.
Earth Rocker, Psychic Warfare, Book of Bad Decisions. That really makes me laugh.
That's really good.
Transnational Speedway.
Jesus Christ.
From Beale Street to Oblivion.
Yeah.
Strange Cousins from the West. I don't know why that's my favourite. Strange Cousins from the West really makes
it
me
works.
Laugh.
It works though.
Jam Room.
Oh, Jam Room.
Jam Room. It's really good.
Hang on, isn't it Slow Hold to China? Isn't that a rarities album?
But most likely.
I think so.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
We get to your side dish, Corey, because otherwise we'll get stuck in that.
Oh, we're still eating, are we?
Yeah, apologies.
Shit. All right. No, my bad. All right. Side dish. It's kind of lame these days. It's always a veggie, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe like a sauteed spinach, something like that, you know, with light salt, olive oil, little garlic, and just kind of just don't fry it, because then it just turns into fucking, might as well be eating a eraser from a pencil. But, you know, just that proper, just enough heat to kind of, you know, soften everything up and get it ready to go.
Healthy addition to the meal. And then
look, man, at my age and as weird as I get on stage, I have to fucking eat healthy, dude. I can't eat the way I used to anymore, dude. It just kicks the shit out of me.
When you started out, were you eating awfully and still doing that level of
shit? Oh yeah, dude. Let me tell you something. One of the most horrendous nights of my life, and this is back when I was still drinking, I was in Paris by myself, mind you, walking around Paris, and I stumbled on this Irish pub in Paris, which is, you know, whatever. But I proceeded to drink about 6-7 car bombs, which, you know, is the Jameson and Bailey's dropped into Guinness, and then you shoot it all down. Kind of like a Manhattan, but a lot more deadly, you know? So I drink about 7 of those by myself. Now I'm really fucking fit shaped. Then you get the after pub munchies, and there was right around the corner a place where you could get a giant fucking hot dog with chips right on top of it, right? A little chili. And I mean, dude, I ate 2 of those. Just now, mind you, at the time I was over 200 pounds. Okay. So I was like a professional. Like, I could eat and eat and eat and then just hate myself all day the next day.
Was that like in the early days of Slipknot?
Iowa. Yeah. Iowa.
Really?
Tour. Yeah. I was really heavy, because that was when my alcoholism was really at its worst. I once passed out face first in a plate of Swedish meatballs.
I just never had that memory of you being like a bigger guy, but I guess the boiler suit's very slimming, right?
They try to be, you know. You only pack so much of yourself in there, and we would wear them big, you know, so we would have them made a little bigger to kind of hide the moistening in the middle, as you would. And I, you know, the mask was on. It wasn't really until Stone Sour that people really got a look at me, and even then it was like, oh god, you know, it was pretty bad, you know.
Because I used to be a lot bigger than I am now, which means I finally get to apologize to you, Corey, because I came to a Slipknot signing in the year 2000 at the Virgin Megastore Oxford Street. And when you guys came out, I was looking around the shop, and you were walking out, and I just ran towards you at the fastest I could manage at that time, which wasn't very fast, and threw myself on top of you. And I heard you from under the mask go, oh, fuck. So I hope I didn't do any serious damage.
So it was you who wrote the letter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, yeah.
Remember, he was on your back at the Virgin Megastore going, put me in a cage. Put me in a cage, Corey. Do you remember me, Corey, at Reading Festival 2000? And I was the one who, during the song where you got everyone to sit down on the floor, I was about a mile back, and I was right next to the guy who was holding the Rage Against the Machine flag and refusing to sit down. Do you remember me?
Well, now that you say it,
yeah.
You know what's fucked up about Leeds and Reading at that time was I was out in the audience when started getting bottled. You remember that?
Oh, yes.
It was
Daphne and Celeste.
Yeah. Oh my god, dude. I was out there, I was hanging out with some friends of mine and I was like, who are these people? And they were trying to explain it to me. And then, dude, it was like the fucking seas opened, and it just like came out of nowhere. I was like, oh shit. But they, I mean, to their credit, man, they stood there and they took it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that was, they only did like 2 or 3 songs, but they're like, fuck it, we're gonna go for it. And then I went backstage, and dude, they were bawling their eyes out. I was like, hey, you did something that a lot of people wouldn't have done. You stayed in there, so hold your head high. And I don't know if they fucking cared what I said, but I mean, they did it, you know.
I was 15 at the time and in the audience, and fully believed at the time they deserved the bottling. Now, as an adult, I do not. But
well, you know,
if you told me as a 15-year-old, you know who's consoling them backstage right now? Corey Taylor. I'd be like, what
the fuck? That was the same night that Guns N' Roses went on late, and made us, they had security holding us back. We couldn't get to our buses. And finally, I just shoved my fucking way. I was like, my house is right there. You can kiss my ass. I'm fucking going to my bus.
Talking of bottling at Reading.
Yes.
And now we get on to your favorite drink.
Yes. It's got to be coffee. I don't know if you can tell. I'm such an, an even guy.
Corey, just before you go into why, I'm so worried about your bowels during this whole meal. What is going on, man? You've absolutely annihilated yourself, and now you're having a cup of coffee.
People do indeed equal shit, it would appear.
Listen. You try setting off a bomb without lighting the fucking fuse, okay? It has to
but
be
the,
done.
The bomb's already gone off. Yeah, the bomb has gone off twice now already. You're lighting the fuse on a wreckage.
Buble's in tears.
he's covering his face right now. He's like, oh, Jesus Christ, this is going to go horribly wrong. Look, it's not a good night for me unless I've shit six times, okay? I'm just letting you know.
Good.
It's Zen laxative. All things must pass. Just let's just go, right? No, for real, man. Full disclosure, I can't drink coffee past a certain time now at my age because then I'll just be laying in fucking bed like a vampire in a day pass, just spinning, and I can't get my shit together. But after dinner, I'll have like a latte or whatever, an espresso, just to kind of, get the party started, and coffee is just, it's the last thing I have. Like I don't smoke anymore. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. Can't do orgies. What else do I have, guys? I mean, this, all I have is coffee now, So that's my go-to. That would be my favorite drink.
You got a favorite type?
Yeah. Just black coffee or...
Yeah. It has to be like a dark roast, which dark roast doesn't have a lot of caffeine to it, which is good, but I need the flavor of it, because for some reason, my brain, it reminds me of whiskey. So it's almost like kind of dipping into that. And I don't drink soda, the only time I really drank soda was when I was drinking. And, once I quit drinking, I realized it's like, I don't even really fucking drink soda. So I don't really go for sugary shit like that. And I don't put anything in my coffee. So like a dark roast, espresso, just, kind of knock it back. When I drink tea, I add cream and a little sugar to it just to, kind of give it that little extra. But with coffee, it's just the devil's ball sack, basically, just
lovely.
Do you have like a local coffee shop that you frequent or a specific bean
that
you enjoy?
Yeah. It's a pretty niche coffee shop. I doubt you guys have heard of it. It's called Starbucks.
Oh, and, sure.
Yeah. It's look, I mean, and that's with, no apostrophe at the end. It's just Starbucks, so it doesn't belong to a person named Starbuck, from like Battlestar Galactica. But yeah, dude, I mean, for me, it's like asking, what's your favorite beer? It's like whatever you got.
So we arrive now at your dessert, which is my favorite course. I'm always very excited about the dessert. Ed's a starter boy.
I enjoy the starters more. But
Fair enough. Now, we have to keep in mind, I am a loaded weapon at this point. I am quite ready for war, as it were. I am going to go for something explosive, delicious. I'm going to go for a chocolate lava cake, with a scoop of caramel ice cream on the side. Nothing too, ostentatious. Nothing, trying to be a little full of itself. However, the commingling of the cake and the explosion and the ice cream is enough to make me orgasm. And I'll tell you why, because the richness of it is just, as you can tell, dessert's my favorite fucking meal as well. So it's like I've done all the fucking, being good. Fuck you, Satan. Here we go. This is, sugar is my downfall. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that to me is probably my favorite dessert, is a chocolate, like a little personal chocolate lava cake and a scoop of ice cream just kind of take the edge off of it.
It makes total sense, because at this stage of the meal, you are a chocolate lava cake.
This is very true. I have all the flavors in the middle. I'm a pork on the bottom yogurt, right? I mean, that's probably not a good thing.
Me and Ed and the great Benito, our producer, earlier this year took a journey to America and did a lot of podcast episodes. Oh. And chocolate lava cake was the most popular dessert choice of the American episodes.
It's a big popular American choice, but no one's added the caramel ice cream.
I don't think I've ever had it in Europe, to be honest. You know, the great thing about Europe is you have not to include you guys in Europe, I know it's a separate thing, but you know, in my Americanized brain, it's all that kind of same region.
I love it. I want to please include us in Europe. I love being in Europe.
Yes, please.
Please call us European. I love to be associated with culture and a team. I love all of that.
Yeah. Trust me, I would too. Sadly, I don't. You know? But I guess the dessert I get over there is like a custard. Is flan like a custard, or is that like a different type of thing? It's kind of like that, isn't it?
A custard tart is a thing as well, right?
Yeah, that's okay. That's more to the point. Yeah.
So that's what we're thinking of. Yeah.
Which I'll eat six of those, dude. I don't give a shit. Like, I'll just fucking just neck the shit out of it and just get out of there, you know? But that's good. It's good stuff. But your cookies are great too, or your biscuits. I'm into that.
But I always think I think the grass is greener with stuff like that, because I always look at whenever I go to America, I'm like, I have to go to Trader Joe's straight away. I have to go to a supermarket straight away.
Right.
As many snacks as possible. I'm like, we don't have stuff like that at home. And every American I meet are like, your cookies are amazing. All your chocolate's amazing. But no, we just want what we can't have.
Exactly. You know, I mean, a pretty big Anglophile, to be honest. And I love pretty much everything from your island, except the fucking Walker's ketchup crisps. can fuck right off. I'll be honest. If the machine that made those just exploded and killed several people, I would still applaud. I would still be fucking happy. Like, good riddance to bad rubbish. Fuck off. Like, so disgusting. It's one of the worst things I've ever had in my mouth. And I've been to Holland. Okay. I'm just letting you know. That's some shit.
I love the image of you telling a Walker's ketchup flavor crisp machine to fuck off.
Fuck off. Oi! You motherfucker. Fuck off.
What happened? Was there a specific event that made
yeah,
this anger?
I put one in my mouth. Disgusting. Ketchup flavored, really? Really? And you give us shit? Fuck those things. Good night. I'll eat my weight in paprika ones. I love bacon flavored ones. Ketchup. Fuck. And listen, I hate the salt and vinegar ones. Now, and I know that's like a fucking travesty or whatever, but I'm not a huge fan of vinegar. Those fucking ketchup ones, I would, if I had the choice between the two, I would eat all the salt and vinegar ones, and I would wish the ketchup ones on my worst enemies for the rest of their lives, because that is a punishment. Eating those fucking things is a punishment.
Next time you're over here on tour, I want you to stop the whole gig and just do that rant exactly as you
just do that rant. Yeah.
Everyone get down on the floor right now. Everyone get down on the floor. And when I say fuck Walker's tomato ketchup crisps, you jump the fuck up. Corey, I'm going to read your order back to you now and see how you feel about it. Here we go. Fantastic. You would like, you want the sparkling cherry Buble water served by Michael Buble.
Served,
you would like pumpernickel bread with olive oil and Buble's buttery voice as the butter. Your starter, you want your wife's Penang curry with tofu, bell peppers, broccoli, not too much cabbage, and some jasmine rice.
Right.
Main course, wife's sweet potato and kale hash with pico hot sauce, cilantro, and vegan cheese. Mm. Side dish, sauteed spinach with salt, olive oil, and garlic. Drink, a dark roast black coffee, espresso, just knock it back from anywhere. Dessert, chocolate lava cake with a scoop of caramel ice cream. How do you feel?
Oh, hungry now, man. Jesus Christ. I know what I'm having later. Shit.
That's a pretty decent menu, I'd say. That's sounding really
not
good.
Not bad, right? Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a good and menu.
Specific too, man. Like, it's fucking dialed in.
All the toilet chat's very appropriate because the last song on your solo album is called European Tour Bathroom Song.
Yeah, exactly. You know where that came from? Have you guys ever been on a European tour bus?
I've been on Raging Speedhorn's tour bus.
Oh!
That's it.
If you see those guys, tell them I said hi. I love those guys. I'm good friends with those guys, man. We toured with them about 15 years ago. And they were fucking, dude, they were nuts. They were properly fucked up, like in a good way, like really good. On every European tour bus, in the bathroom, there's a sign right next to the fucking toilet that reads, and I quote, "Please do not put paper in toilet. Please use the bin provided," right? Pretty stationary, pretty, you know, standard J11 instructions for people. So you find yourself flying down the road at like, you know, midnight. Maybe you don't have the best bus driver. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you're holding on for dear life, trying to take a piss. You've got your arm braced, trying not to get it on your trousers. And you find yourself kind of staring at this sign and like kind of focused on it and reading it. And you find yourself, you have a weird brain like me, spelling the words and then developing a rhythm to spelling the words. So you start going PLEASCDONOT PUTPAPERINT. And then if you're really fucked up, you take that a step further and you start writing hardcore music to it. And then you go, someday I'm going to record that. And someday turned into 3 months ago.
Perfect. It's like it's come full circle. I love it.
Yeah. We're all here. There it is.
Also, I think before we go, I should give a little shout out to the 1992 Clutch EP Passive Restraints.
Oh, perfect. Thank you very much for coming, Corey.
Oh, dude, this is an absolute pleasure, guys. Thank you very much.
And there we have it. That was the off-menu menu of Corey Taylor, James.
Ooh. Woo-hoo-hoo! What a feast for the mouth and the butt.
What a feast. I mean, very toilet-based this week, which I am into.
Do you know what? I think anyone going into the off-menu Corey Taylor episode, surely that's what they came for.
I mean, it was a great moment for me when that started happening. I was like, talking about shitting is probably up there with my favourite hobbies.
Sure.
And talking about shitting with Corey Taylor, I'm living on cloud nine over here.
Then Clutch got involved. I mean, I was worried I was gonna have to just, like, you know, lead the whole episode while you rotate in the air in a state of euphoria.
Yeah, the listener wouldn't have been able to see that because we don't put the videos out or anything. But I was 3 feet off the floor with my hands out of the side going diggy, all the way around like a little happy cartoon boy.
It was very distracting, but Corey took it in his stride. And carried on telling us all the wonderful food that he wanted on his menu, which did not include, thankfully, the secret ingredient, maggots.
Maggots. No maggots from Corey. Thank you very much, Corey. But if we'd said you're not allowed to talk about shitting, then that would have been a disaster.
Yeah, then we would have been in big trouble.
So that was a very exciting episode for me and for you, James. I mean, it turns out you remember way more about Slipknot than you thought you did.
I saw Slipknot twice when I was 15. And 16, I think I saw them. And I listened to that debut album so much. I had a Slipknot shirt. So who was I kidding? Of course, I was going to jump both feet, just jump in there and get in the old Slipknot fan pool once again.
And who knew that you'd come out of this episode as a messenger to send a message from Corey Taylor to the band Raging Speedhorn?
Yes. If you're listening, Speedhorn, I did it.
No.
You may. Huh?
That's not, you need to find them. You need to track them down. You don't.
Oh, yes.
You don't.
Need,
you can't. You can't pass the message on now. You need to go and say hello to them if you see them. Do you think
hello.
You'll see them at any
Corey
point?
Corey Taylor says, "What's up?"
Yeah, and then obviously you're going to have to take that message back.
Yep. See what they say back to him.
Yeah.
I don't mind that if that's what I do. For, you know, we've all got to, in these lockdown times, in these quarantine times, these post-COVID times, we've all got to maneuver. We've got to find new jobs. If my new job is to just be a messenger between metal bands, so be it.
I think you'd be very good, actually, James. You'd be very good at that. You'd have to wear little wings, of course, and little horns.
Yeah. What are the wings for?
Messenger.
And the horns are for being the devil.
Metal.
So that's very confusing. Mm. So I'm an angel and a devil at the same time.
Aren't we all? What a lovely way to end the podcast. You should go and get Corey Taylor's new solo album, CMFT. That is out on October the 2nd. We were very nicely sent an advance copy. Yes. And I've been pumping it. I've been whacking it on loud and I'm enjoying myself. He's having such a lot of fun on that album. He's proper wailing. There's some proper classic rock sounding stuff, some proper like almost country sounding stuff. It's so much fun. And he doesn't drink, but he's written some wicked drinking songs.
Yeah, man. If you're having a night in with a flagon of ale, you want to put on CMFT and swill that ale from side to side.
Well done, James. You can all imagine James doing that at home now. Do you ever swill your ale side to side?
Oh, I used to. These days, I'm far too busy delivering messages between Tool and Rage Against the Machine.
That is the end of this episode. We will be back again soon in the Dream Restaurant. Sorry, James.
Hello, Maynard. Yes. They wanted me to tell you they won't do what you tell them. Okay, fair enough. I'll go back and let them know. That's my impression of delivering a message to Maynard James Keenan, the singer of Tool from Rage Against the Machine.
I enjoyed that. What has Maynard said back to Rage Against the Machine?
Well, I'm trying to think of a Tool lyric, even though I'm very much into Tool and I love their album Lateralis, but trying to think of any lyrics from that album, and I can't think of any right
none
now.
None that specifically...
None that work in this context, you know.
Yeah, wear the grudge like a crown, doesn't fit. Really.
I'm glad that we got to segue. We got a Tool riff in an episode. It's taken many episodes for us to get this in there.
I mean, you say that. Everyone's either turned off or Benito's edited this bit out.
Yeah, it's not out of the question that this will go out in the edit, but then it is at the end. So it's a nice little Easter egg for any of the metal fans who stuck around. Like, and then there might be people screaming at the podcast now, being like, why don't you use this lyric? Come on, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you talk about the Tool song, Thanks Very Much For Your Message, I Hope You're Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Best wishes. Why did you do that? Kind regards. I hope you're doing okay during this post-COVID times. That song.
Those guys were crazy Nostradamus, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But thank you very much for listening. We will see you again sometime soon. Goodbye.
Yumma yumma.
Ever wondered about the world's greatest mysteries? Who built the pyramids? Where is Bigfoot?
I'm over here.
Is time travel possible?
Oh no, Mark.
From invisibility to whether aliens are living amongst us. It's Microscope, the improvised comedy show from the award-winning John Kearns and me, Matt Ewins, an all-round nice guy.
Where's it available?
I'll tell you. iTunes, Spotify, Acast, and all the other places you get podcasts from. It's Microscope.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah, if people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe you know a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.